So here we are. Good evening to those who join in over BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for broadcasting us, for the sponsoring us on BBS. This is the Win Free Show, and Win was with us. He's going to be here back in a minute. At this point, we're still welcoming people on the conference call phone line. I welcome the next caller. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Good afternoon. Hi, it's Eric in Phoenix.
Hi, Eric. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Thank you. Happy holiday.
Happy holiday to you and Paul.
And hey, I welcome Eric.
I welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good evening. How you doing?
Hey. What's up, guys?
Another day. Thank you for being here.
This is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Right. Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. I welcome the next caller. If you want to, please say your name and location. And welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to. Good evening,
oh,
Rock.
God, I got cut off.
Hello, Dwayne.
Hello?
More people joined in if you want to. Please say your name and location.
It's Vaughn in North Hollywood. How are you?
Hey, hello. Welcome to the call.
I'm in Brexville. Hi, nice, everybody.
Hey, Don. Good evening.
Thanks.
Evening.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the call. If you want to call the location.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, good evening.
Are we on BBS?
Yes, we are. BBS Radio.
We are. So I'm ready to start. Okay. So, hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is Wynn and Terry in Phoenix on September 2nd, Monday, 2013. And we're going to wish everybody a happy Labor Day. And, you know what? Vaughn thinks he had a miracle. And I thought maybe he likes to share it. Sometimes I don't like doing miracles because some of you are not having them. Some of you are. And we've had calls about this, of what it takes to have a miracle. Part of having a miracle is starting to not think of it as a miracle. And part of it is accessing the energies of the higher dimensions. So you access a transformation for yourself that starts out in another dimension and then shifts. Now the problem is, sometimes it takes a person a while, can be a couple of years, before they suddenly trigger into what it's all about, experience that. And so when you think you're supposed to have a miracle, and then it doesn't happen, you start judging yourself and say, I must be bad because I'm not having a miracle, and Vaughn is having a miracle. Well, Vaughn's probably bad just as well, but he has been pretty diligent. He, you know, one of the things is he started holding his house open on Sundays and inviting people over. And, you know, every time you take an action that does something, it seems to help predispose the potential for something bigger to happen. And I know Heise had that happen to him. It's like he was coming in on the calls and I better not talk for him. Okay, but he might share it. He's shared it before. It was quite amazing, and then I've had a few things happen, and I wished I could be the one that could always make something happen, because I hate it when people are suffering. and I can't wave the magic wand and fix them. I don't like it because I feel they're suffering, and I know we give you a certain kind of hope, and there is hope here. There really is. It's genuine. But it doesn't always happen in the same time, the same moment as you want it to happen. Now, maybe I'll get better, and maybe, you know, the energy, when I say I'll get better, the truth of the matter is we're all getting better. There's a progression of consciousness that's happening. And it's kind of like a pressure cooker that's waiting to explode. Lots of people will come in, lots more things will happen. Because we're all holding, I won't say all, but many of us on the line are holding that energy. So when you start to, when your own pressure cooker pops, it's like builds the energy. And, you know, for a long time you're thinking in your mind, oh, is this thing legitimate? When am I going to feel something? Blah, 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 blah. And it builds steam up by the intensity of your intention. You need an intensity of intention. And the pressure cooker pops, suddenly something happens. So, Ron, are you there? You want to do a star six? Let's see if you're there. Hello, Vaughn? Star six? I don't hear you. Testing 1, 2, 3, Vaughn.
Okay, what would Terry do right now?
Were you muted?
I was muted. I hit #6, and that didn't quite work.
Was your phone muted locally?
It is *6.
Yeah, I did.
You did *6.
*6, not #6, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's Unmute University, okay? So, well, what do you think happened to you that was a miracle? I don't even know if you used the word miracle, which was outside of the normal reality box of this dimension.
Well, one of my tenants just fractured his radius, and it took him 6 weeks to heal. I did the same break, and it took me 3 days. So I consider that pretty miraculous.
Did you go to a doctor?
No, but from my background in physical therapy, I knew that I could not rotate the radius. That's a rotational bone, and yep, that's a break. So, yeah, it was pretty definitive what I did.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. So it healed in 3 days, and you have no memory of it now.
Well, it wasn't very pleasant for the first day or two, but, you know, I had my really dark moment there where it's like, oh, my gosh, 6 weeks, I'm going to be out of work, what am I going to do, or everything is crashing down on me, this is terrible. But been, this last month, I've just been so darn grateful about everything. Including the challenges, and that's what I took this to be. So I was able to calm myself down, clean myself up, go to the pharmacy, get a splint, Whole Foods, get something I thought would help, and just keep the best attitude that I could and just continue being grateful. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the true miracle, to hold that space. That's what it felt like to me. Just whatever happened, 6 weeks or whatever. I mean, I'm flabbergasted. This is the fourth day, and I am fully functional. Other than the puncture on my forearm where the nail hit me, you can't tell that I was injured at all.
No, when it started out, did it swell up?
Oh, it got enormous.
Mm-hmm. Like how big?
Well, too big to fit in my pocket. I couldn't do a simple thing like turning doorknob. I couldn't get the keys out of my left pocket. I couldn't put any pressure in any direction on the bone. And
okay. That's pretty big. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, did you ask for help or did it just happen by itself?
Oh, I again, you know, I was just grateful for whatever was happening. I was pretty darn miserable.
You know what? I didn't hear your answer. You dropped out. I said, did you ask for help? Were you
Yes, I did.
You were inwardly petitioning and it happened. And up till recently, I would say, from talking to you, you felt a connection with them, right? You felt
definitely.
A connection.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's the key, to feel the connection. I'm going to be talking about that tonight. This is going to be an interesting hour we're going to spend. And thank you, Vaughn, for sharing your experience. And,
well, you're welcome.
And
I'll talk to you. Can't wait to hear what you're going to say.
Me too. There we go. I muted Vaughn. Well, one of the things, this is like, I'm not getting up to what I'm the main topic yet, but I'm of the theory that higher sources are speaking to people all the time. And oftentimes, one of the ways they come through is in music. And somebody writes a song that is them talking to us, but a lot of times it sounds like it's a love song or something like that. But when you listen to the words, it transcends normal love, usually. And I thought I'd play one of those songs that some of you may remember. It's really an old one. And I used to love it when it came out. But then I learned Carole King had written it. I don't know if you know who Carole King is, but she had an album out years ago called Tapestry, and she's a very aware, conscious woman. And what were some of the songs? Well, she probably sung the song on her album, but before she made her own album, she was writing songs in New York City, and other groups were recording. And this was my favorite song of that period. And if you listen to the lyrics carefully, and if you imagine that it came from really high sources, you'll see what I mean about how it's such a perfect, it's stated so perfectly. Here we go. So it plays correctly. Here we go, getting ready.
Up on the roof. On a roof. When this whole world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs and all my cares just drift right into space.
On the roof. Now when I come home feeling tired and weak, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet. I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street. On the roof, the only place I know. Up on the road.
keep a-telling you right smack dab in the middle of town. I found a paradise that's trouble-proof. And if this world starts getting you down, there's room enough for two up on the roof. Up on the roof. Oh, come on, baby. Oh, come on, honey.
All right. Now, hang on just a second. Okay, I just opened up all the mics. How many of you remember that song?
I do.
Sure. I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
How many of you thought that it was a message from God?
Nope.
But it was nice. I liked it.
But when you heard it now, did you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, just wish something and it happens. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, let's go up through the seventh chakra. That's the analogy for the roof, right? So, all right. I'm glad I thought of that. You know, Carol King wrote a number of songs that were that sensitive. You know, there were so many songs in our history that were so high that I really believe people were channeling them. Because I write songs, and I know that when I was writing songs, it was like I was channeling, but I didn't use that word. I didn't know that word, but it would just be an adventure writing the song. Okay, so now I was going to share with you that we found someone who was connecting the Elohim. And I don't even know if they knew it. But I have read reviews of this guy. You know, very rarely do I recommend anybody on this call. And it's not because I don't appreciate the work other people are doing. I think there's a lot of people doing good work. But because our work isn't, and let me find the, I have to find the right word to say this. It's my experience that we're doing something really, really unusual on these calls and the work we're doing, and that we have tapped in to this group soul. Now, give the Ra group up there to group souls who have the ability to stream energy from where they are right into our personal space. And many of you felt it. And it's not only are we streaming energy like that, but they talk to us, and Jerry is like a person that can bring those messages in trance. And that is really one heck of a thing. And the reason I don't bring other people on is because even when they're doing good work, they're operating at a level it's not that big. And I have to make pretend I'm not doing that to talk to them because they need attention to what they do. And my stuff is too big, and I learned early on when I was excited about this, knocking at all these doors and saying, I got to tell you what's happening to me. Nobody was interested. Because it was too big. And on some level, I don't think it was necessarily conscious, but on some level, they felt threatened. They felt like maybe I would take their steam. And at a certain point, I put it together that I had to do this myself, because no one who, at that point, not this could be different now, I'm not going to keep this up, but, you know, the people that had recognition of some sort could not see what I was doing, and it just sounded like another good story, like maybe I want to be recognized, and that they were competing with me at some level. And so And never was it more clearly indicated than, and some of you may have heard this story, but if you haven't, it's a good time to tell it, because it's a funny story, and it's true. And this was, I think, in 2003, and I was invited to Las Vegas to a guy that named Steve Rother, who had a monthly internet broadcast, which he did in a hotel. He was a channel, and he was channeling something called, that he called The Group, but it never said any more than that. But he was secure in himself to invite me to be a guest on his show, and mostly because I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I brought Terry with me. And Terry, I'm sure you probably know, Terry is kind of shy. And there was no intention. We had never done a public channeling at that point. And Terry was sitting there, and they were interviewing me. You can probably find this on YouTube if you look up Steve Rother, Rother, and Win Free. And I talked, and then finally, Steve, I talked a little bit about my experience, and Steve saw Terry in the crowd, and she invited him, he invited her to come up, and she was part of the conversation, although we didn't channel. And you can see a really shy Terry on that show, because I think it's on YouTube. And we went to lunch or dinner or something after this. We went out. And then we were talking back and forth because we were talking about the Elohim. And we thought maybe the group that was talking through him was also the Elohim. There was some similarity of the energy. But I was not that astute. And even now, I wouldn't say for sure that it was the Elohim. But that evening, the woman who interviewed me invited Terry and I over to her house for dinner. And normally, I don't like those kinds of events because I'm still in the moment, and then you have to act like the moment was sometime other time than now, if you follow what I'm saying. Like the moment happens when you're on stage or when you're channeling. And you have to then get social, and the energy goes down. But she catered this dinner, and I couldn't say no, so we went to dinner. And she had some of her friends, and it was a very nice dinner. And then after dinner, she said, well, listen, the reason I wanted you to come over is because I have this meditation upstairs, and I'd like you and Terry to come up and bring the Elohim energy into that room. And I went, duh, I never did this before. Now, I could probably do that now, and I would know what to do. But this was, we were still, it was like 2003, maybe, no, it must have been 2004, because it was, or 2005, because it was after the book came out, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. But I'm still going, duh, but okay, let's go up and see what happens. So there's probably 10 people in the room. Now, what I quickly learned was all of these people were New Age, shamans, channelers. They all had their little piece of the puzzle. And that this woman went around the room and she would introduce each person. And each person then accessed his source, whoever he was channeling. So there was one guy that was waving his shaman stick and doing some Indian whoopie-doos. I can't remember, but each person, someone maybe was channeling Saint Germain and this person and that person. So she went through the room, then she looked at me and said, okay, we're ready for the Elohim. And I looked at Terry, and Terry looked like a deer with the headlights in her eyes. And I said, duh. Well, I had some transcripts of some of the challenges with me. So I said, well, you know what? If I read these, their energy comes in. So I'll start reading it. And I started reading it. And in the middle of reading it, it was somebody interrupted and said, we want the real stuff. We don't want you to just read things. And so I looked over to Terry again, and we both had, you know, again, more like lights in the eyes. And I said, so finally Terry said something. And this was her channeling. She did it, finally did a channeling. And this was it. And I learned so much. This is so simple, so short, and I learned so much from what she said. What she said was, there's not enough room, space in the room for us to come in. And what they meant was, all of these other people were bringing through lower entities. And they were all those entities that were coming through were attached to their recognition in the room. They were attached to, you know, the people who were bringing them in. And that they, psychically, didn't want something bigger than them to come through. And so the Elohim could not come through because it would have violated their free will. And that was it. And then we adjourned. We all went downstairs, and then I took out my guitar and played music and had a good time. But
it was interesting because the Elohim were there, but they were of such a high frequency, and their frequency was totally overpowered by all of those shaman energies and the masters that they had brought through. So the whole room was full of these masters' energies, and the Elohim could see that the people in the room couldn't sense them because of all the other overpowering energies and frequencies in the room.
Now, most of you have never seen us live, and many of you are feeling these energies on the phone. And it's pretty amazing to feel it in this way. Well, the first time I got the idea that the Elohim were able to project into this realm in a way that we could feel was in 2004 when you heard this story probably, but it gets in here. When I did my first talk on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And when I was talking, I could see the energy in the room. I mean, it was like blinding. I could see light dancing over people's heads. And it was moving from this person to that person to the other person. And I said, what is this? Now, I have, in my life, experienced that energy being in a room with someone who I thought was a spiritual master. And they never talked about the Elohim. They never talked about that stuff, but that energy happened around them. And I can only think, perhaps, of one or two people that I had that experience with. And I don't even know if they understood it. And because, you know, you start doing something and that energy happens, and that doesn't mean you understand it in your mind, but you know something's happening. Well, after that talk in San Diego, people left the room, and Terry was selling books, and they were saying things like, I could see auras. I never saw auras before. I could see light in the room. And so later, we did a channeling, and I asked them, I said, could you explain that energy that was in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. And I think this was in 2005, I think. And this was a whole new take on my understanding of a relationship with these sources. Because up to that point, it had been Eli asking questions and getting channel answers. And when they said they could project into the room from where they were and lift the energies, it blew my mind. It said, this is a whole, what is this? And finally, I asked them the question, could you do this on a conference call? And they said they could, and that was the beginning of a conference call. And that's why we're here, because that happened. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. And so now, there's a fellow that I've read about. I've heard about him. I've read extremely thick. You know, he's very, very aesthetic looking, very angelic looking. And his name is Brazzo. And it's spelled Brazco. Brazco. And he was, some of you may have heard about him, you go look at him. What he does, and he walks into a room full of people, and he stares into the room, and people have all these transcendental experiences. He does not say one word, ever. Walks in, he spends 10 minutes looking at the crowd, then he walks off again. And people are raving about him. They're saying about the miracles they're having, all this stuff. Well, he's giving a talk in, now, when I say give a talk, I'm saying it in the old way. He doesn't give talks. He was doing an appearance in Phoenix for 3 days. And I said, I want to see what this guy does, you know. And so we booked a room in the hotel, and what he does is he does hour sessions, and of the hour, he's probably up in front of everybody for 10 minutes. And then he charges $8 to come into the room for that hour. And then people leave, and more people come into the room, and another $8, and he does this all day. Now, here in Phoenix, he had about 150 people in the room when I went in. And Terry went in. We didn't go in the same time. We were in different cycles, so she went in and I went in. And I sat in the room and didn't know what to expect. And lo and behold, the same energy came into the room that I experience when I give live talks. And he did it without even talking. I mean, the woman who was a couple people that were traveling with him introduced them, talked about it, and he's kind of elevated almost to a messianic position in the way people talk about him. But the energies he was bringing, I didn't even have to ask in a channeling. I recognized it, and I recognized that he was an Elohim soul. If I said that to him, he might not even know what I'm talking about. But I wanted to share it with you, because if he shows up in your city and you want to experience what I think is Elohim energy, it's worth spending $8 in a room. Now, many of us experience it on these calls. The only difference between the calls and being in person is that it's stronger, at least in breaking through your resistances. Many people experience it on these calls very strongly. But when you're first coming into the call and you wonder if it's real, there's something about all the people in a room that is very intense. And so I know he's going to be in San Diego in a couple of days, and you can go look him up on the internet. His name is Brazco, and just do Brazco San Diego, and he'll show up. In fact, here, I'm on the internet right now. Let me see what time it is. 6:34. Hang on a second.
while you're looking that up, I could say one of the people in the room had experienced him before, and she described it as the bringing through of grace, which I thought was phenomenal, because that's one of the areas of the Elohim energy that we access.
So, I don't know. I'm going to drop my book off before we leave here. But I don't know if he's... I don't expect that he'll ever acknowledge me. It doesn't matter. But here's his...
I'm
here
not sure he reads English.
He may not read English, okay. He's from Yugoslavia. He had a teacher that supposedly passed this down on him. And his website is Bracco, B-R-A-C-O, .net. And his schedule is San Diego, September 7th through 8th, Portland, October 19th through 20th, Denver, October 23rd and 24th, Boise, Idaho, October 26th, 27th, Chicago, October 29th and 30th, and New York, November 1st, 3rd. So I know some of you are in those areas. And if you want to experience, don't try to explain this to anybody there, because basically they think he is, you know, they just treat him like an exalted person. And because he doesn't talk, you know, he doesn't bring in cosmology, he doesn't explain anything of why it is. He just comes in and holds the energy. Who knows how they'll all respond, you know. But one of the things I did is I brought our little thumb cards, and I was discreetly passing them out, telling people, hey, join our Sunday meditations, which is on the back of the card. So it's kind of a test. I really came here to test thumb cards. And, you know, if you ever try to do that, you have to be very, very diplomatic and not be in the face of where somebody is coming to see somebody. Say, hand them a card. But you can stand on the way where people go into the parking lot, into the cars, say, here, have a card. Just don't, you know, because, you know, people spend a lot of money, a lot of effort to bring energy and attention to themselves. And it's not fair to go right in the middle of where they're doing it, say, hey, look at something else. But here I am, I'm saying look at something else and spending a whole show on it. But it doesn't matter. It's like, people will get mad at you if you do that, and you have to do it such a way that you don't violate someone else's energy field. And we would sit in the restaurant, and it's like this is the way synchronicities happen. You're sitting in the restaurant, and there was a nice lady catty corner in the restaurant, and I said, hey, and the thing is, everybody's really open because this energy is here. And he's bringing in that energy. And it turns out she's a movie producer who lives in Sedona. And so we're going to get together with her. But that's the way synchronicities work, to be in the flow of energy. And then people just show up next to you. And this is a great place to be in the flow of energy because he brings in such a good energy. And he's helping a lot of people. In Europe, apparently, 10,000 people in a day show up in some cities to sit in this energy field. And I was asking him, I said, I do a radio show. Maybe I do part of my show inside, blow some of the energy in. But you know what? We could do that anytime. Some of you are realizing that all these words we say are just, this is my take on this, is to keep your mind distracted so the energy can come in. And in between the words is energy. And I can't look in your eyes. We can't look in Terry's eyes. So we can be quiet at any time on this call and ask them to flow into the space. And they will. The energy will flow. Let's try it. Thank you. sitting in the Sheraton Hotel. And while we're doing this, we have in the background the Beatles singing All You Need Is Love. Now you see, some of you are right with the silence, and some of you are waiting for me to talk again. So I'm not going to stay too long in silence, because it takes practice to learn how to tap into the silence, into the energy of the silence. Maybe, Terry, would you like to say anything about your experience here? You're muted. We don't hear you.
What I'm getting is it's like they're saying, and we didn't bring in the light, but I don't know what...
You want me to bring in the light? They want to say something? Okay. All right, we brought in the light unofficially, but let's bring it in officially. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And we have never done a channeling. I mentioned this guy, Brasso, I think is how it said, Brasso. So I don't know what they're going to say, so we will be open to hear. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra on the 2nd of September, 2013, and we feel the energy that pervades through the Sheraton Hotel and out into the area. It is energy connecting with the higher realms and an aspect of us and an aspect of grace that then brings calming influence into the whole area. He also can ring, as he has been doing in the last hour, through his voice, energies and frequencies of the higher realms in through his voice, as well as bringing them in through his gaze. And it is very helpful for opening up the heart and opening of communication. We take a moment also and we thank Vaughn for his openness and his ability to believe that change can occur rapidly, healing can occur rapidly, and allowing this to move into his life and to be able to access the energies and use them in his life and the healing that he experienced. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let me see, it is 6:44. You know, something I was thinking of doing, as we're talking about this, I'm going to just give you an idea. We are sitting in the bar. It's got this back room, which nobody is in. It's a really big room. And I scoped this out earlier because we checked out of the hotel, and I said, that's going to be a good room to do our talk in tonight. And what I thought was, I might just walk into the room. Where's Bracco? This guy is still talking. And I'm just going to walk into the room where some of his followers are that are not in the talk. And maybe I'll let some of them say hello. Well, see, what's great about not charging for what we do is, you know, as soon as people charge, I don't know if you understand this. It's not that I don't. We charge. We charge for that little workshop Terry and I did on Saturday. But people don't need, they can get the impact of our work. There's enough that's available for free, and particularly of the sources of higher energies, you know, the channelings, that people can get it without paying anything. And since we're not charging, I don't feel threatened about sharing someone else's that I think you'll get something out of. It's like, you know, I know how it feels because you could think if I give it to them, then I'm not getting it. If somebody goes and spends $8 to see Paco, then, now right now I've walked into the room. I can't go into the room where he's talking, but I'm in the lobby outside, and everyone's inside, and I can feel the energy right through the walls of the hotel. And the only people that are outside now are people that help take in, you know, like sell tickets and whatever. And this is a lady that I talked to. What's your name?
Kelly.
Kelly? And Kelly, I should have her picture. She's beautiful. And I talked to her yesterday. I'm on the air right now. And, you know, I was talking to Chris. Is that her name? Chris? Because I was going to go take my radio show and do a little bit of it inside. And she said, why don't you just go around outside and talk to people? Because, see, some of the people that are listening are going to be in where he's going to be going. So they might show up. Would you like to say hello? Just share your experience? This is Kelly.
Hello, everyone. This is Kelly, live here in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Bronzo event.
And hi, Kelly.
Hi. My experience with Bronzo, there's not many words I can say other than my whole life is a miracle, a walking miracle every moment. You're welcome.
And they're feeling the energy.
They are.
They can, yeah. Yeah, I have the energy going out over the internet. And I have people, you'll see, Kelly's going to check us out. When you come in, you can say hello at the beginning of the call, and everyone will remember who you are. It's like, hi, Kelly, because it's all the same energy. It's the energy of oneness, the energy of the field that, you know, is available. Most people can't tap into it, but once somebody demonstrates how to tap into it, then other people learn because they feel it. You can't say it intellectually. You have to feel it. Then you can transmute it, you know? So you're doing that. They'll remember you, too. So let me see. What time is it now? It is 6:48. We got 7 minutes. They're coming out. What time are they coming out? Within 2 minutes. Okay, we'll stand here. We'll all feel the energy as people are coming out, and maybe someone else will say hello. We have 7 minutes, and it is so neat to feel that when I feel energy, that you feel it, and they feel it, and it's all one. So, Terry, do you have anything to say? Could you feel my energy when I walked in here, Terry?
I can feel the energy through the whole building. It's a soft, beautiful, radiant, loving energy that it brings joy to me to feel it, and it's extending through the whole building.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I am learning from this is that, like, if we do a workshop, that I usually talk for a long time. And as you guys know, I have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of interesting things about where we started from, the history of things that puts pieces together. And it's got a great value because it gives a lot of aha experiences for your minds. And usually if I do a workshop or talk, I usually start out talking for hours, and then we actually bring in the energy towards the end. And what I'm experiencing here is that he doesn't talk at all, and he just brings the energy in. And I'm saying, I could do that. I could bring the energy in at the beginning and then do the whatever I'm going to talk about after I bring the energy in. Of course, the energy comes in anyway. Like when I was talking in San Diego, even while I'm talking, the energy is dancing around the room, and a lot of people can feel it. And
the people actually ran out of that room in San Diego and up to the desk to be first to tell me what happened and to order books.
Right. Right. So, it's very interesting to see a guy that just brings the energy in and doesn't bother talking and has 10,000 people go see him in a day. Now, I was thinking, I can see the value of everything because, you know what, some of the stuff we talk about is mind-blowing, as you well know, and it's very sophisticated, and it's like how humans got started and how aliens did all this. And for some people, if you start off with something like that, it's just too mind-blowing. They just discard you. But if you start off with this wonderful feeling of a loving energy and emphasize that loving energy, then you can go into other things as people will gravitate towards it. And so I'm learning that. I'm seeing it work right here. Now the doors are open and all these people are coming out. They're getting flowers now the lady's giving me some flowers. She said, yeah. And let's see who I'd like to talk to. Hey, I'm doing a radio show, and we're talking about what happened in there. Did you have a good experience?
I did,
yeah. Did you?
I loved it.
What's your name?
My name is Rebecca Ellen.
Rebecca, where are you from?
I'm from Chino Valley, Arizona.
Chino Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you look like you're glowing.
I am.
You know, take this. We do a conference call every Sunday where we bring in all these healing energies.
Okay.
And it's very similar energy to that. Try it. Thank you. Okay. So I'm sitting here watching people. Do I want to talk to anyone else? What time is it? It is 6:58. We have to get off the air. Okay.
Well, 6:53 even.
Huh?
It's 6:53.
Oh, are you sure you have the right time? You sure?
Yep.
Because my cell phone is usually light. Well, let's see. Well, you're right. It's 6:53. Okay. You know what? I am going to finish with another song. And we're walking back to the bar. And you know what? As I walk through the hotel, the energy holds. It's like, even if I'm in the bar, you know, the energy is maintaining. And I got another song that came from another dimension that I loaded up today. Let me get to it. And on a second, BBS, you can throw us out anytime you want. Okay. Here we go. Now, this is another song that I thought was written from the higher dimensions.
It's for you, it's from you.